This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. We are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. Joining me this week, as always, he's the Woody to my Buzz, the Bert to my Ernie, the Mario to my Luigi, or the Road Dog to my Billy Gunn, whatever you prefer. Ben, how are you?
Hello, Doody. Some incredible references there. The last one, bit of a deep cut, but big wrestling fan, so I like it. I back it.
Yeah, I'm trying to cheer myself up after the bad news we received last night / this morning, but we'll come to all that. We'll come to last night's game against Derry. We'll come to cup wins over Galway. We'll preview games in Sligo and Cork. We'll give Richie rankings. We'll do a bit of moaning, as we always kind of do. But I'm looking forward to it. There's been some head loss this week, Ben. Some people have lost their mind over plenty of things. One of them being a nil-all draw home to our title rivals. Another is that people don't understand how loan deals work. Some people are just not in good form this week. So, yeah, my message at the start of this would be cheer up. Cheer up a bit. The Reds are top. They're top of both leagues. We're in the quarterfinals of one cup. We're in a great position in another cup. Like, everything's good. We just had a decent European campaign. What is there to moan about, Ben? Come on, give me something to moan about.
Well, the obvious thing is to moan about is, of course, the news we got late last night, this morning. That's where I see a lot of people moaning. But I have a really weird stance on this, and I don't know if it'll seem disrespectful, but, like, Jack Moylan, good Reds man, left. Someone stepped up. Gav Malloy left. And Cam stepped up and stepped up so well that no one's mentioned Gav since. Look, obviously, absolutely devastating to have Will leave. Not just because of the player he is, but just what he brings to the squad. But to me, that's just someone else better step up here.
I tend to agree with that. The news obviously is Will Jarvis has been recalled by Hull. Our old friends in Yorkshire. I've called him back from his loan deal early, basically, we call it what it is. He was due to stay at the end of the season. They, by all accounts, are in dire straits at the moment, so they need bodies. Unfortunately, that included good old Will Jarvis, who's been, I was about to say, a fan favourite from the moment he arrived, but he actually wasn't. A lot of people were really annoyed when he signed for us because it was the whole thing of Hull were sending over their reserves and, you know, we're not a feeder club for Hull and but
It was before we went down to Cork is when he arrived, because I was there to do this kind of welcoming interview with him, and I remember he was asking, like, oh, like, looking forward to get going, what's it like online? I'm like, yeah, probably best not to check. Because it was just another Hull reject and there was a lot of negativity towards it, and now he's leaving probably a hero, and it's not his fault. Look, I think he said himself, he gave his feelings on it, and I'm sure if you asked, he probably would have liked to finish what he started here, but he's in the form he's in, he's playing as well as possibly probably can be. You can see why Hull would need him, especially being in the situation they're in. At the end of the day, I'm going to shock you here, but he is their player.
It's probably important to realise that. Like, I've seen a couple of people as well being, oh, we've been shafted now twice. We had a release clause in for Gav Malloy, and, you know, we had obviously this clause that meant Hull could take him back. It was either that, you don't get him back at all. So, like, we could have either gotten the whatever 20-odd games we're after getting out of them this year, or we could have got nothing out of them this year. So it's probably, like, seemed a bit of a no-brainer to me.
As well as that, you can either take them with those clauses and look, there's a risk that he could be recalled, or you say, no, you're grand, keep him, and he goes to a rival or he goes somewhere else, and that bites you in the arse.
Yeah, you're never really going to win. What I did find interesting, of course, Darren interviewed him last night after he played his last game. I think this time around, some people put two and two together. I've seen a couple of people saying as he was walking off the pitch, he looked like a man who'd played his last game. Now, I didn't cop that myself because we're doing the usual rubbish of trying to get onto the pitch to be able to get set up and stuff. So I didn't really cop it, but his comments were interesting. Like, it's hard to explain, but not that we would know the players particularly well, but he's not the type of fella that would give you the lip service, if that makes sense. He's not the type of fella that, you know, is going to give you all these good sound bites. He's just very honest. Yeah. He's always been really honest in any interview. And he basically said himself, like, I didn't really want to go back, but, you know, here I am. I'm going back anyway. It's interesting, isn't it? You would have thought, like, he'd be buzzing to be getting called back.
But you have, like, I suppose if you look at it from a player perspective, you're at the top, you're just after a massive European adventure, you've had some great games in Europe, you're top of the league in a title race, in a really competitive title race, you're probably, like, you're fully fit, you're gunning for top scorer in the league. I know he said himself, I think he said it publicly, he definitely said it privately, but he was gunning for top scorer, like, that was kind of a motivation for him. So why would you want to leave? Like, I can see where the comments come from, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and my thing with Jarvis is there's been players before that have gone on to England, and, like, I haven't really cared. Not that I haven't cared, but, like, Jack Moylan, I'd be keeping an eye out for him, definitely. Look, we all love Jack here. I'd be the same for Gav Malloy. Like, I was kind of keeping an eye on the Aberdeen game. He obviously started in the first league game, scored an OG, funny enough, but, like, there's players there that you hope, you know, it really does work out for them. And I genuinely do hope it works out for Jarvo. I hope he ends up playing regularly.
I'd absolutely love to see it.
Yeah. Ideally, it wouldn't be with Hull, to be honest. But look, that's probably another argument.
He deserves it. Like, he kind of came in a bit under the radar. Everyone was like, this fella. He's quite shy as a person. It takes a little bit to open up, but he's absolutely hilarious as a character.
Yeah, it was funny, Ben, you kind of, you didn't leave the game early. You had a night off. You had a well-deserved night off on Monday. You got to just go to the game, relax, watch it like a normal person, not be worried about what you're going to have to talk about after the game. Nothing like that. But, like, it's hard to explain with Will Jarvis. A few people have kind of said he started to loosen up a little bit kind of over the last little while. I'd probably agree with that. Like, I don't think I'd ever heard the man speak until probably the away European games. You kind of see him in a bit of a different light. But when you get the big, I know when Darren finished the interview with him, it's kind of a bit awkward. It's like, why now? You know, I'm probably not going to, might never, bit dramatic, but might never, like, you know, see or talk to you again after this. That's kind of the reality of it when a player leaves. But yeah, Darren got the big, come on, big fella, bring it in. And he got a big cuddle off him on the pitch. And, like, part of me is rage, and he didn't get, like, an official, like, well, here you go, Jarvo's gone. Everyone tell him how much you love him and tell him. I think
Gav didn't get that either. Like, it's a little bit, it's hard for players that have given a lot. Especially, I think Gav's one of them that he was loved from the start. Jarvo kind of had to earn it a little bit. Like,
I'd agree with that. Up until even recently, not that people weren't sold on him, but there was an awful lot of, he comes in and out of games too much. You know, he doesn't dominate games enough. He's a bit aloof. He can come across a bit aloof. Like, he's just so laid back. Like, what was Duffer's thing? If he was any more laid back, he'd be horizontal.
Yeah. I think that's one of my favourite quotes, I think, from the manager ever.
But, it, like, he was so popular with the staff and stuff. Like, I remember having a conversation with Luke Byrne. I don't know whether it was in Zurich or whether it was in Gibraltar. It was one or the other. And Luke just kept saying, I just love the fella. I just love him. And he's the type of player that, not that you could see the likes of Luke or the manager having fallings out with him, but he's not. Not like a blood and guts type of fella, if that makes sense. He's not a Gav Malloy. He's not a Mark Coyle where, you know, he's pulled the socks up and let's get rough and ready and stuck in. He's more of a... seen a few people referring to him as a luxury, which I don't think is fair. But he's probably not your stereotypical Duffer and Joey player, if that makes sense. But it's probably a sign of the type of fella he is that everyone just seemed to love him.
Yeah, but I also thought about this, and I had this conversation yesterday, and I don't know if it's a bit of a weird one, but like, he's not your typical Shells kind of idolised player.
No, he's not.
Like, if you, like, as you said there, like, he isn't the kind of pull your socks up and die in your shield, blood and guts kind of player, but he just, there was just something about him that made him just so easily likeable.
It's a hard one to explain. Players come along like that sometimes and you can't explain it, but for whatever reason, they just seem to connect with supporters and people just, he grew on people, I would say, is probably the best way of putting it. But one interesting thing I took from the manager last night was he said that basically he won't get what he had here at any other club. I think the manager actually said in the world, in terms of the love he got and the level of coaching and the way he was treated. And then the League of Ireland family trademark seemed to lose their mind over that as well. But it's probably that's a real encouragement for me that the manager really does. And Duffer doesn't say stuff for the sake of saying stuff. He means that he genuinely does not think Jarvis is going to get anything like what he's getting here when he goes back to England. Is it a bit out there, do you think?
No, I think that's completely spot on. Like, if you look at him, he's played his best football of his whole life here in both spells. Like, that's not to discredit anything he did with Hull in the academy or what he could go on to do with them or any of his loans to National League sides. Like, I think it's a bit harsh to say he was a bit coddled here, but like, they looked after him. Like, I think it's a very tight knit group, so it's very easy to kind of get that love in terms of your game. And, you know, when you do need it, it seems like there's always the arm around the shoulder being like, look, it's grand, we'll pick it up, but we'll go through it. Like, You saw it yourself, Judy, when we were away. Like, the attention to detail. Like, when the manager turns around and says, I'll have a match watched back and analysed before 1, 2 a.m., he does that. That's not a soundbite. That's not a line. Like, he's 24/7 coaching with these lads, it seems. And, like, it seems like he's not just a coach. Like, he's great for them personally. Like, he takes an interest in their lives. He tries to keep up with them. And I don't think you're going to get that at any other club. I think that's what is the biggest difference for me. It's the interest he takes in them as people and not just players.
Indeed. Look, we'll get into the football talk shortly, but just while we're talking about the manager, again, the League of Ireland family, the box room dwellers, Ben, the
TikTokers of the world.
Yeah, the oddballs, I would say, took great exception to Duffer and Rory Higgins having I'm going to call it an exchange at full time. Nothing more, nothing less. And people's heads have fallen off again. What is the big deal? What is the big deal?
If it was anyone else, no one would care. But that's the issue. No one cares if it's a Keith Long. No one cares if it's Alan Reynolds, because they will not get you a headline.
Yeah, it's because they're all boring.
But that's it. Like, that. No one cares because it's not their manager. Like, imagine that's what you're doing when your team aren't playing, you're spending your Monday night tweeting about another closed manager.
I just don't get it. What makes it worse is, as far as I'm aware, Rory Higgins, and it's Rory, it's definitely not Rory, I can tell you that for a fact. Him and Duffer are maybe buddies, is pushing it a little bit, but they would be, on very good terms. Yeah, like they're not, like Duffer said himself, Rory Higgins kept them sane in the Ireland setup when they were involved in it together under Stephen Kenny. Like, there's a good kind of relationship there. It's just heat of the moment. Like, you know, you're after playing out what some people are billing as a title decider. It's probably a bit extreme, but little handshake that, like, there's a bit of, there's one of those. Who were the two Premier League managers did it? It was Conte and Thomas Tuchel. Was it, had one of them ones as well, where it was kind of shaking hands. We're not quite ready to stop shaking hands yet, but I'm ready to stop. You're not. And it's a bit kind of, and I think Duffer had a little bite back. And what's the big deal? I don't, like, it was all water under the bridge. After it, Rory Higgins was like, it's just, you know, heat of the moment stuff. I think Duffer said something similar. Move on, you big bunch of losers.
It's football. It happens everywhere, but it's just because Damien Duff does it, it's an issue.
Yeah, it's probably as simple as that, really, isn't it? Right, on to the big business, Ben. The football end of things. We usually watch the games together. Last night we didn't, and I said to you, this will be good because we'll probably have differing opinions when it comes to record the pod. Give me your opinion on last night's 0-0.
It probably wasn't what I expected. I don't think we did enough to earn 3 points. I think that's fair to say. But I think a draw was a fair result. I think anyone saying that Derry deserved 3 points, I don't know if you're maybe watching the game. I know we probably didn't, but it also feels like we did lose 2 points. Like, there was a little bit of a sour taste, but I think that's just due to the circumstances of the game. Before that game, if you turned around and said, it'll be a draw, you might be happy with it, you might take it. But because of the red card, and that changes the game a little bit, you're thinking, probably a chance to get the 3 points. Maybe should have done a bit more.
It feels more like missed opportunity than anything else. Like, it could be one of those where you might look back and go,
it could be a massive point there. From the end of the year.
Well, I made this point with JJ Lunny in his post-match interview that when you kind of strip it back and you calm down a little bit and you say, right, we're missing Paddy Barrett, missing Tariq, missing a Boydie, who I felt that last 20 minutes was just crying out for a Boydie.
Massive loss.
Yeah, it just didn't. That type of game, I just don't think suited Matty Smith. I think Matty's better when there's a little bit more space, when he has, you know, can use his legs and his pace and his that bit of explosiveness he has. There just wasn't really any space for him to operate in. Yeah. Whereas a Boydie is more of a, you know, you could hang a few balls up onto the penalty spot type thing. And Boydie, if nothing else, will run into Mark Conley, or he'll annoy him to put him off, or he'll make him foul him, or he'll do something. I felt, and anyone I talked to just felt like the game was crying out for a Boydie.
Yeah, I think Matty Smith, when he's out wider, I think offers you a lot more when he has a chance to cut in, maybe go one-on-one with a player. More narrow, kind of sitting where he was, it's just very hard now. His link-up play at times was brilliant, but I think you need that physical presence, just throwing himself around up front. But I did think Ali Coote, when he came on, was a real, real difference maker. I thought he was brilliant.
Ali Coote is the main reason why my head hasn't fallen off at Jarvis going back to Hull.
Yeah.
Because I think Coote will just take on that role, maybe on the opposite side or whatever. But anything I've seen of Ali Coote so far, he has been brilliant. He just constantly looks like something's going to happen. And he has that weird thing that, when he gets a ball, it's like defenders go, oh shit, oh, he's going to do something.
They always seem to kind of back off a little bit because you never know if he's going to cut. Like, he could cut inside, he could take it to the line. Like, he's quite dynamic in terms of what he does and when he decides to do it. So I think that's a really good aspect in his game. Like, you're not just getting the same thing over and over.
No, you're not. There's a lot of... Although, you look at Jarvis, like, when Jarvo, like, squares up to a defender, or he has him, you know, 1v1, you know what's going to happen. You can literally see it about to happen. You just can't. There's nothing you can do about it. Whereas I think with Coot, there's a bit more kind of, what's this lad going to do? You just, he could do anything. Rory Higgins said after the game, he felt if anyone deserved to win the game, it was probably Derry. If I'm being totally honest, taking the shells off, I'd probably agree with him. They looked more likely to score, I thought. They just looked more... Don't know what it is. Even in that first half an hour, like, they had that great chance after, what, about 15 minutes? I think Mickey Duffy had a chance. Yeah, and only for Conor Cairns, you're 1-0 down, and it's a totally different game altogether. But they... excuse me. Like, when you're... Again, if you take it all back, we only had one shot on target. You know, and that's not enough when you're playing against 10 men, regardless whether it's Derry or Drogheda or Dundalk. It's not really enough. I just didn't think we...
I think there was a little bit of... I don't know if it was tiredness in the performance, but it was almost like... I don't know. It's just... Like, the manager was extremely animated on touchline and just looked like every time he spoke, he wanted the ball played quicker, the ball moved quicker.
Yeah, it was a bit flat.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably a bit basic to say, but I felt like kind of when you're playing against 10 men, generally the whole thing is, like, get the ball wide. It's going to be space out wide. You'll stretch teams. You'll cause a mistake. And Gano nearly played like an extra centre back for that last kind of 15 minutes. I think Derry, with about 15, 20 to go, just shut up shop and said, here, let's just sit in. We'll take our point. I would have liked to see maybe Gano just freed up a little bit more. And I know some people have a lot to say about Gano going forward. And, you know, is he as effective going forward as a kind of wing back? But just think, if we had width on both sides, it might have made a bit of a difference. Like, we did. We murdered them down that left-hand side at times. We got a lot of joy through Jarvis and all the rest of it. But it was interesting that the manager mentioned afterwards about Derry and that they're a good team and that Pat Hooban just loves to operate. He loves to pull out to the left. So was there a bit of that maybe that they wanted Gano to stay in just to nullify any kind of threat Derry might have gone the other way?
Yeah, I think that could definitely be it.
And I know I'm not just saying about 10 things to you in one go there, so pick what you will.
No, I think Gano probably... does have to sit that little bit deeper just for the extra coverage there. I think if you leave Hooban with any kind of space, you could be in trouble. If he can open up and kind of get something off or cut back across, it's a dangerous game you're playing. So it is. I think this is going to sound a bit weird, but I think Tyreek was a big loss.
I agree with that, yeah.
Just on the underlaps, creating the space, maybe the extra body in midfield as we're building up. I think it was a big loss. That's not saying Cam couldn't do that. I just think with the type of player Tariq is, he probably offers you a little bit more going forward. And I think that was a big loss for us. Paddy Barrett as well. No disrespect to the lads that did come in. It's not an easy task to come in. And I think there was, like, we kind of looked at the defence and it was kind of nailed on what it had to be, because there was no defenders on the bench. Like, we are pretty much stuck with what we had, and credit to the lads, credit where it's due. They did really, really well. Like, Griff, not a lot of minutes under the belt, but didn't really put a foot wrong. I think Sam Bone was quite good as well, really composed, especially driving the ball forward. But I think the two lads... probably a miss. Maybe would have given you a little bit more in the build-up.
Do you know what I think we missed most with Paddy Barrett not being there? Was his bit of chaos that he causes.
Yeah.
Like, Paddy's liable with 10 minutes to go and you're chasing the goal to just, like, he'll drive in and he'll just have a shot from 35 yards, but and he might balloon it over the bar, but what it does is the next time he shapes up to do it, somebody has to come out, close him down, and then can leave little gaps in behind. And as you say, it's a weird one because Griff and Sambone did do really well, but it just does, for me, there was a huge Paddy Barrett shaped hole in that team, and I can't really describe it. It's not as if, you know, they didn't rip us apart defensively or anything like that. I can't quite put my finger on what it was, but
I just think it's the little bit maybe that he offers in the build up and that. His massive diags, he loves them, he'll go for them, and sometimes they won't work out, but he'll never lose confidence. Like, they do open up the spaces and they kind of spread teams. I think that's kind of one thing maybe where we were trying to spread the ball, we couldn't do it as effectively without those.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I would have particular praise for Sambone purely because Pahuban is really bleeding good.
Yeah. And
I thought he dealt really well with him. In the first half, I think he was too interested in the scrap. Like I said this about Boydie playing against Zurich, that he just caused a bit of mayhem because the two centre-backs wanted to fight with Boydie all the time. And I think Sam maybe got into that a little bit with Hooban in the first half. It was a bit of, right, I'll win the battle against this lad. But a lot of times you don't really have to win the battle with him. You can kind of let him... I'm not saying you let him take the ball down and you let him flick the ball on, but you don't have to go hell for leather trying to win it off him because he has a touch of the Ryan Brennan's about him where he'll just stick his arse into you and he'll go down and
yeah,
then you're in trouble. But I did think... it's one of those weird ones. It's hard to pick out somebody that didn't play well.
Yeah.
We just didn't quite get up to the level that we could have been at, I think is probably a fair way of putting it.
But I think it just shows the growth in the squad as well, that like a performance like that where you pick up a point against Derry is almost disappointing.
Yeah, which is mad.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it is. And but I can kind of see where people are coming from. It was a huge opportunity, like playing anyone at home and they're down to 10 men. But again, JJ alluded to it in his interview that it would have been probably easier to break down 11 players because they would have came out a little bit more. They might have taken more chances, leave a bit of space behind that we could have exploited. But look.
But I just think like the atmosphere as well kind of suited Derry because they're in a very, like the crowd are incredible atmosphere wise. Like it was pretty hostile for Derry. Like it was a hard one to play in, I imagine. So like you just have to put yourself where they are, they hear all these, the boos, the cheers, and they're under siege, they're under pressure, and they come out with a point. Like, it is big.
It is. They'll be hoping that's a catalyst for them, I'd say. You know, because, I mean, I don't mind saying, I told everyone and their mother in that ground yesterday that they're soft. Like, you know, they won't be, if we get at these early on, you know, they won't, they'll buckle, they won't be able for it, and they were able for it. And I think I'm kind of looking at them a little bit differently now, going, maybe there's a bit more steel there than I thought there was.
I'd be very similar to that. Just in years gone by, this is kind of the time of the year where Derry decide that we're going to check ourselves out of the title race because we're just going to start messing up and bottling a few things. And yeah, I didn't expect it of them, obviously, but you just thought something might go wrong.
Yeah, it's an interesting couple of weeks because we're obviously away to Sligo Saturday. Derry play at home to Dundalk on the Friday, which that's not a gimme either because Dundalk are in that kind of desperate scenario now where they just need to pick up points whatever way they can. Then the following set of league games, we're at home to Bowes and they're away to Waterford. Like, that's another really tough game. Really tough game for both, for us and for them. So, the next couple of weeks are just...
Derry don't really have that great of a run-up, do they? They have to... Like, they have a few tough games in there. I think they have to go away to Galway as well. They have to play Rovers, I think, in there.
I looked at this earlier on, and look, we'll preview the Sligo game. that's obviously the most important one because it's the next one. But on paper, like our run in, our next few league games now, we're away to Sligo, home to Bowes, away to Dundalk, home to Pats, away to Galway, home to Sligo. That's our next six. So there's obviously no Derry, no Waterford, no Rovers in there. So it's definitely a chance. It's a chance in the next couple of games to extend that lead, I think. And obviously we still have the game in hand against Bowes to play, but look, it's 11 cup finals, obviously, but these next kind of four or five, I think, will be the ones that will determine whether we can win or not. I think so, anyway. As you mentioned already, like Conor Cairns popped up when we needed him. He very nearly gifted one as well, with that kind of heart-in-mouth moment where, from where we were obviously down at the tunnel, so I didn't even see that Derry attacker. I think Mark Coyle was in my eye line, and all I could see was Mark Coyle. And the next thing I just heard, oh no. And that Derry player just came out of nowhere. Now, Connor recovered in the end, was fairly comfortable, but it was just one of those ones where you go, ooh, that could have. And only a couple of minutes before half time as well, it could have been a major blow. But again, Connor just has this habit of, he pops up when we really need him to, and it kind of went under the radar in the end, that save early on, because of them going down 10 men and blah blah blah, but he has the knack of just popping up when we really really need him to. We had kind of half chances, Harry Wood put a great free kick into the box, Coyler just couldn't get there. If he grew his hair out, maybe might have got a bit more purchase on the header. Ali Koo flashed one across the goal in the second half. No real. JJ kind of had a chance at the back post as well, but nothing clear cut. They couldn't look back and say, oh, we definitely should have had two or three.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Like, the chances were, I think, for both sides, there was very few chances, but it was just one of those where nothing seems to fall and, like, stuff is fizzed across the box. Just no one can get a toe on it. It's like, you could play that game for 150, 200 minutes, you might get a goal.
Yeah, and do you know what stood out to me from Thursday's game against Zurich and last night's game against Derry? Matty Smith was so unlucky on both of those occasions. I don't remember who flashed the ball across last Thursday, but basically, if a ball comes in from wide, you have a 50-50 chance. You either take a chance that it's going to go like towards the keeper, or it's going to be cut back. And both times, Matty Smith was just unlucky. He went in and the ball kind of was cut back twice. Like on another day, Matty Smith taps that one in. I want him to score so much. He's been so, so unlucky, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's just, it is, I think, more for him as, like, personally, like, I know the manager said,
but that's before, what I mean. I'm not. He's been playing unbelievably for us. I'd love for him
just to get that, his goal. Yeah, but like the manager said to him, it's not about your stats. It's about what you do on the pitch, and I think he knows that and he appreciates that. But you kind of always, you just want them to get the goal because you know how much it'll mean to him.
Yeah, 100%. We'll get to that. We'll get to kind of what we think the team might be for Sligo. Before that, obviously, on we're inside, progress in the Women's FAI Cup. Can you get a better start, Ben? Alex Kavanagh after how many seconds was it? Not many seconds, he'll say.
Look, I think it was a very, very tough game on paper. I think you look at that one, you're not, like, we said that last week, like, it was a nervy one. Like, I know Galway have kind of fallen off a little bit in terms of form, but, like, it's a rotten place to go. Like, it's never going to be an easy game. So, to have a result that comprehensive and a goal of the season, coming out of it. It's some going.
Oh, that, see that goal. If I don't know whether they include, do they even have a goal of the season? Is there a League of Ireland goal of the season?
I don't know, but if there
surely is, goal of the month, there has to be goal of the season.
Well, you'd imagine so, and I've seen both. I've seen the goal of the month and the goal of the season. Yeah.
You'd think I'd be a good podcast host and research this, wouldn't you? But Aaron Manny's goal was outrageous. Outrageous.
But like, when you see it back, you actually don't, like, I thought, like, I just couldn't imagine her hitting the ball there.
No. It was a mad strike as well. Like, it just, I don't know, it's one of those ones that you could look at it 100 times and go, how has she managed to do that? Like, how has it managed to go in that way? I know what you mean by, like, how she's kind of managed to do it that way, I do not know. But that's probably why she's playing in the League of Ireland, Ben, and me and you are sitting in our respective box rooms at the moment talking about the League of Ireland.
That is very true.
And then to top it off, 16-year-old Hannah Healy seals it. It's like you go from one, not one end to the other, but the likes of Ava O'Mahony, experienced, you know, like not even in terms of age, but just been around loads of experience in different areas. Alex Kavanagh the same, you'd forget. Like Alex Kavanagh always seems to get tied into that kind of Noelle Murray, Rachel Graham, Pearl kind of thing, whereas like she's, I'm not even, I'd be guessing if I tried to tell you Alex's age now, but
I think Alex is only 24.
There you go. Just for the amount of time she's been playing at that level in the league, you would, like, you could easily get confused for saying she's close to 30. Just because she's around that long. But you're going from the experience level of Alex Kavanagh to Hannah Healy. It's, I keep saying it, they have the perfect blend, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. Like, I know we do keep saying it, but it's just, you don't really understand how lucky, like, I don't know if those the young players coming through understand how lucky they are to have role models and players there that have done as much as the people in that squad. Like, it's an incredible learning environment, and like, it's just success breeds success, and that's what it seems to be there.
Yeah, Saturday was funny because I remember looking when the two starting 11s came out, I remember looking and going, geez, that's the most experienced the 11 has looked. Like, when you go through that team that started, Amanda McQuillan, Kiva Keenan, Slattery, Alex Kavanagh, Noelle Murray, Gemma Quinn, Rowan McLaughlin, Jess Gargan, knocking around the league so long, so experienced. And then, like, I obviously haven't mentioned Leah Doyle there. She's 23, which, again, she just seems like she's been around forever. And obviously Maggie and Christy have come into the league from outside, but that is an outrageously experienced starting 11. But then the bench was just full of kind of, you'd like to say, Katie McCarn and Naya Hannan, like just really, really young players that are going, will you get a better learning kind of opportunity than sitting on the bench watching a starting 11 of that kind of experience?
I think that's kind of your peak, isn't it? That's like exactly the environment you want to be in and the learning environment you need to see like what success looks like at the highest level for in terms of longevity as well. Like it's pretty incredible to have the players that we do, and I don't want to say it's an embarrassment of riches, but it is.
Yeah, it's not far off it. And more minutes in legs of Megan Smith-Lynch, which again, it feels like she's just coming back at the right time now. Again, just adding more experience.
Yeah, you're kind of getting, look, your fixtures are kind of coming at you a bit quicker. We're kind of we're very slowly moving into the business end, which is a bit mental to say, because it feels like we're not that long into the season.
It does. It's that stop-start nonsense. nonsense that just makes it feel like the league has hardly started. And then I think it's what, 12 games they've played in the league. And although you've only played 12, you are kind of nearly on the wind down at this stage. So, like, I was about to say you're running out of time, but we just need to keep going the way we're going. Keep going the way we're going, and we'll win that league. Another huge one. And I always go back to when Corker mentioned, do you remember doing that interview with Pearl and she flagged Cork?
Yeah.
Very early on, saying they are a good, good team. Like, they will cause problems for everyone. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. If you can't travel to the game, it will be live on LOI TV. There's a feast of football Saturday because obviously the men's side down are away to Sligo as well. So get yourself on the couch. Get comfortable if you can't travel because it's two huge, huge games. And yeah, you would be fully expecting that loan to win on Saturday. They're playing Sligo, have kind of struggled. But like, this Cork team, unbeaten in three, they've beaten Piemont, they've beaten Bowes, they drew at Rovers. They're not to be sniffed at, are they?
Yeah, no, especially not with recent form. Like, I think it'll be very hard to look past them. And I think they had a big emphatic cup win. So they'll be kind of bouncing into it, I think.
I would say so, yeah. It was Douglas Hall, I think, was it 9? They finished 9. I kind of clock out after I see kind of 5 and 6.
I think it was 9, right. Yeah.
Local enough game as well. The cup draw was done today, and of course, it's away. It's
so typical, isn't it?
Away to Shamrock Rovers. But the old thing with the cup is, look, you're going to have to beat these teams anyway. Certainly not the fear, though. Yeah, I hear. Look, I'm going to leave it to you. Go on, go on. Say the line.
I thought they're the game changers.
You said that, not me. You said that, not me. I don't want to get given out anymore.
I am just quoting something.
Yeah, to be fair. Look, it's another one similar to the Galway one. Again, this might be jumping the gun a little bit, but are Rovers going to win the league? No. So it's kind of a season on the line kind of job for them, which makes them a dangerous animal. But what it also does is puts pressure on them, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I don't want to say it's theirs kind of to lose, but like, what do you play for if you lose? Like, they're hardly like playing for anything else. Like, they really need to go out and do something. They've been fairly, I don't know if lackluster is maybe the right word to describe them this season, but
I could probably think of another word, but we won't lower ourselves to that kind of stuff here, Ben.
Yeah, no, look, people can have their pops. We'll see come the end of the year.
Yes, that FAI Cup quarterfinal is fixed for some stage over the weekend in August 25th. So just keep an eye out on all the social channels. As soon as that game is confirmed, it will go up there. As we say, this Saturday, the girls are travelling to Cork. It's in Turner's Cross. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff. If you can't travel, it's live on LOI TV. If you are planning to travel, you'll get your tickets on corkcityfc.ie. So head on over that direction. Mentioned already, Saturday night then, Duffer's team make their way out west to play Sligo, Ben. I'll go through the formalities first before we start talking about on the pitch stuff. There is a supporters bus travelling and leaves Talk at 3 o'clock. The fare is €30. If you're under 16, you have to be accompanied by an adult. This can be get a bit messy because by the time this pod goes out, spaces can change, become available, become unavailable. So if you're interested, just text or WhatsApp the club SLO, John Brennan. He's 087-6610927. And John then will give you all the info you need. Ben, Sligo away. They are the last team that beat us in the league. This is a tough game, isn't it?
Yeah, they're absolutely, like, let's just be honest here. They are like they're rotten to play. Like everyone seems to struggle against them. Like it's not just a case of us. Like they put two pass Galway. They beat Bowes away. They beat Derry at home. They beat Rovers at home. Like it's not an easy place to go by any means.
It's not, and on top of all that, whatever about how good or bad they may be on the pitch, they were shafted against Pats the other night.
Duty say or lying quick.
I can't do it this week, Ben. I can't. He deserves it. I'm sorry, but he deserves it.
Duty, I am not even, one for referee bashing. Right.
Do you know what bothers me, right, with this one? There may or may not have been a bit more to it. Like, there's obviously a lot of time passes from the free kick being put into the box to the camera panning to the incident. But generally speaking, I would say the reaction of the players is usually a good indicator of whether it's a penalty or not. I'm not saying a ref should base their decision on how the players react, but it usually gives you a rough idea. And the crowd didn't even appeal. There was nothing. The only noise you could hear was the Pats fans giving out that basically the ball had been overhit and it was running out for a goal kick. That was it. And then all of a sudden this phantom whistle penalty. I couldn't wrap my head around it. It was mad. I didn't even see the other penalty decision, which supposedly people are saying wasn't either, but oh, they were shafted. They were definitely shafted. And that man's in charge of the education of the referees in this country, which is more worrying.
Yeah, it's just, it's not good, is it?
I don't mind decisions. You can miss, you know, like a tackle or something like that. That's kind of going a full pelt.
People make mistakes. Humans make mistakes. It's the accountability that bothers me and the lack of communication and just, there's no transparency there. Like,
yeah, and then somebody, I can't remember who it was last night, talking, were saying, you know, but who gave it? You know, the Lino gave it or the ref gave it? And that doesn't matter. It's the ref is, he's the one that blows the whistle. So he's the one that's giving it. And he's the one that has to take the rap. So I just, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't believe it. I was, oh, and I don't care. Like, it's not as if, you know, it was against us or something like that. I don't really give a shit. I couldn't care less where Sligo finish, where Pats finish. I don't give a rat's, but it's more if we're on the end of something like that, I won't be impressed. We'll put it that way. Ben, I texted you earlier to give you a chance to kind of wrap your head around this one, for the interest of fairness. I want to know what your starting 11 will be on Saturday. What your starting 11 would be. If you're the man pulling the trigger on these decisions, Jarbo's gone. What is your starting 11 on Saturday?
Right. This is obviously before team news.
Yeah, we'll presume Boydie's available. We'll go with that. I haven't a clue whether he's available or not, just so we're clear, yeah. But we'll say he is.
We'll say he is for argument's sake, but I think for me, look, obviously Conor Cairns, Gano, Paddy Barrett, Cam, Tariq, JJ, Coyler, John O'Sullivan.
Oh.
Which probably, yeah, I knew that was going to get something. Then it would be Ali Coop, John Martin and Matty Smith.
Oh, I'm so happy we haven't gone for the same team. I was worried there when it got to I have the same back four, plus obviously Conor Cairns. I've Cairns, yeah. Gano, Paddy Barrett, Cam, Tariq as a back four. Yeah. I have Mark Coyle, JJ and Evan Caffrey.
Yeah.
Then I have Ali Coote, I've Harry Wood, and I've Matty Smith. You've left Harry Wood out, Ben. I'm surprised.
Yeah. It was a very tough one. I just think in terms of like a Sligo, would he be better off the bench? That's again my reasoning for now Evan Caffrey. Obviously Evan's been in absolutely incredible form. He's done really, really well. Anytime he's come on or anytime he started, so it is a very harsh one. I just think John O'Sullivan, I'm surprised you left out John O'Sullivan, or did you?
Confession time, Ben.
Right.
I completely forgot John O'Sullivan existed, actually. When you said his name, I went, oh, shit. He's not even on my bench here. And I was trying to make up numbers. I was going, who am I missing? Because obviously you're down Jarvis. I was going, who the fuck after losing out there? I love John O'Sullivan. I'm pro John O'Sullivan. Majorly pro John O'Sullivan.
John O'Sullivan is a big game player. Like, I'm not saying it's a massive game, but it is. Every game is a cup final now. If you want someone that's going to go out there and give you 100% in a game, that's not going to be an easy game because it's a hard place to go. John O'Sullivan is your man, I think. If you want someone coming on against tired legs, maybe you can take on one or two. That's Harry Wood for me.
Yeah, the other thing is...
a game.
Yeah, I'm presuming Coyler's going to play just because he's the skipper and that, but obviously he came off yesterday. I don't know whether that was injury-related or whether it was performance-related. I don't even know if the manager was asked. Was he usually somebody asks after? I don't think he was, though.
I hadn't seen that and said, and usually something will be mentioned in the huddle. It could be, maybe it could have been a tactical change, I don't know.
Yeah, so like, it wouldn't be totally out there then to have JJ and Evan Caffrey as the midfielders and maybe a John O'Sullivan play instead of Coyler, play a bit further up the pitch or...
I just think, like, if you look at a John O'Sullivan he's a big game player for me, I think.
Like, he is. We've said that a few times here, haven't we?
Yeah, he's just up for the occasion. And if you look at every game as a cup final, I think he's one of them he'll give you everything. Like, you saw in his post-match interview the other day where I kept pulling questions out of him, and I do apologise. I just kept asking him questions, but his voice was completely gone because he leaves everything on the pitch.
Yeah, he was given late 90s Kane kind of stuff. With the, remember he used to use the fucking microphone thing up to his neck? Yes, Ben.
But the thing is, it actually could have been much worse because I had more questions prepared. He just kept answering them in his answers. So I was like, yeah, I know, loads of questions there. There was about 10 more that he answered, so...
Yeah, and that every time I see John O'Sullivan on camera, I just cannot unsee how like Stephen Bradley is. I interviewed him down in Waterford after the first game of the season, and somebody said it down there, and I cannot unsee it. I just can't. I don't know where it's the way he talks. He physically looks a bit like Stephen Bradley, but every time I see it now, it's all I think of. But does he get in the team? That's, jeez, I don't know. Who do I take out? I would just love to see Ali Coote start. Definitely, I would.
Ali Coote has to start for me.
I'd have him just straight in for Jarvis straight away.
Yeah, I think Matty Smith probably could do a lot in this fixture.
I think so. This game might suit us because I think Sligo will open up a little bit. They'll kind of, you know, they'll be at home. They'll want to kind of lay their marker down in the game. I think it will suit. It'll leave a little bit more space for us, for the likes of Matty Smith to run into. That's the only reason why I don't have John Martin on my team. It's just because there might be more space for Matty to operate in, and I think that's when he's at his best.
That's fair. I had such a headache picking that team. So God bless the manager and the staff, because it's actually a nightmare.
But you know what's mad, right? And when I did write the team down, I kind of was looking at this as I was going. If that's the kind of team that we go with, or like that we reckon is the strongest, like we've gone with the same back four, that leaves out Sam Bone and Shane Griffin.
Yeah. And like, with recent performances, that's like, it's extremely harsh, but like, it's just such a headache because everyone has been at such a high, high level. It's just hard to nail down that the starting spots, I think. And
it is. It really is. I'll rattle through the... I actually had people moaning at me that I hadn't had an Instagram question box up with Post Europe, but I do plan to get a few European war stories out there. I know a few people had some interesting...
Can we tell any of our European boys?
I don't know, Ben. They're probably better off in the book, I'd say. Yeah. Save them for the book. But I did get a good few people on. I kind of asked what the mood was. Are people feeling good, feeling bad? Jordan O'Reilly, a tired performance, but people need to relax. This team has proven they react well.
Yeah, the doom and gloom online was a bit mad. It was very water for first game of the season, wasn't it?
It actually was. That's a good comparison. Yeah. Oh, we're going to go down. Oh, burn Sean Boyd at the stake. Stick him in a guillotine and bleed and throw rotten veg at him in the town square. Like, all right, lads. Settle down. Might be a bit harsh. Oh, John O'Sullivan's terrible. Send him back to Bowes. What? All right. He's also been absolutely brilliant all year. Can't be a knee-jerk reaction, Ben. It's great. Knee-jerk reactions are great. James Keaton said, Tolka was buzzing for the European nights and for Derry. Amazing stuff. Keep it up for the rest of the season. This name always catches me out. Seamus McLean, a missed opportunity, but we're still the top dogs. Upset about the Will Jarvis news. He will be a massive loss. Again, put my neck out a little bit here, Ben. I don't think he's going to be as massive a catastrophic loss as people might think he's going to be. And that's not a slight on Jarvo. That is a compliment to Ali Koo, Harry Wood, Liam Burt, Ryan Tulloch. So that's
absolutely the way I look at it. It's next one up, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Maggot said only one team wants to play. I think Jarvis will be a big loss. I don't know whether that's having a pop at us or at Derry, saying only one team wants to play. I don't really know who that's saying that, but Brian Murphy said it had 0-0 written all over it. 10 men Derry were always going to park the bus. Yeah, I think that's a bit harsh on Derry. I wouldn't say they parked the bus as such. They stayed the game up till about 15 minutes to go. Really,
they're obviously going to have to sit in a lower block with a man down. Like, it's not it's a tactical thing. You're not doing it by choice.
Yeah, true. Potter B said, Will's a major loss, but we push on. We can still do this up the Reds. That's generally the way I would think. Killian Mara just wrote back and said, depressed. So, I know Jarvo's gone, but don't know. Maybe a bit of an overreaction there. Mark Massey, still confident, but Jarvis leaving could be the difference, unfortunately. And good old Jer McMahon, Ben. He's not spreading transfer rumours this week, but he's trying to put the mockers on us. Just relax. Make sure to get the annual leave booked for 11th of November. Line all the pots up. Good old Jer. I can't beat it.
Tell you what.
Matt O'Reilly said, lads are losing the head. We're 3 points ahead and we have a game in hand. Would have snapped. He actually says, would have snapped for that last year. I think he probably means would have snapped your hand off. But yeah, voice of reason there. That's probably the most sensible one we got. People were losing the head. We're 3 points clear. We've got a game in hand. And we still to play Derry again. So very, very much in our hands. Dave Red said, we were very poor last night. It's like we played for a draw against 10 men. I disagree with that one. I don't think we were very poor. We weren't at our best, nowhere near our best, but very poor and played for the draw. Don't think so. I don't think so. Iron AFC said, I'm worried after last night and Jarvis leaving. Very strange considering we're still top by 3 points. I think it's mad people are so panicked about drawing yesterday.
But it's only because of the red card. If we draw 11v11, it's good result versus Derry.
Yeah, and
the circumstances of the game changing the reaction.
And to go one further, if it was a thing where we were holding on, like if it's the other way around, we go down to 10, we hang on for nil all, it's heroic, a heroic performance. Like that's market champion stuff. So it's all context, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
context. Ben, last but not least, the Richie Rankins.
I think, Doody, we could probably give same Richie Baker and Richie Winder. I'm just going to rattle mine off straight away.
Yeah, well, in the interest of fairness here, Ben, I have two for each so that we don't have the same this week.
Right, so Richie Baker, it has to be Jarvo, obviously.
I would agree with that, yeah.
You know, you wish him all the best. Lovely fella. Can't wait to see what he does. Richie Winder, very simple. Look, obviously you could do a bit of referee bashing and go that way, but I'm going Vinnie Part.
Oh.
Like, come on.
Do you want to enlighten the listeners, Ben? Because not everyone is willing to pay for off the ball anymore. So maybe everyone wouldn't have heard this.
His comments on off the ball were so bizarre. Like, saying he's going to get respect from his players for starting a scrap or scrapping with the manager.
I've watched it a few times over trying to make sense. I don't even know what he was trying to get at. He started this nonsense about it's not all the Damien Duff show. What are you talking about? What are you on about? It didn't make a lick of sense to me. It stinks of trying to stay relevant. You just really
bit of old deal. I used to be a manager too, you know.
Yeah, not particularly playing good manager either, mind you. But yeah, going down the road of how long is Rory Higgins the Derry manager? 3 years. If he hasn't got the respect of the players by now, he may pack it in. So,
but like, he's clearly highly respected there. by everyone in that setup. Like, there isn't a player, staff, fans. Like, he's very, very respected there. So to say he's just earned their respect by having a few choice words at the end of a game is just bizarre.
Yeah, very, very strange comments. My two Richie Bakers that I had as a safety net, Jarvo was one. My other one was actually John O'Sullivan, who was the forgotten man.
I swear to God, I'll screenshot me.
Yeah, right. I'm going to screenshot this now at the same time as well.
I'll screenshot me notes app, and it says the time I have it written. It says Jarvo / John O'Sullivan.
Mine's Jarvo / JOS. And the reason... the reason I have... John in it is for his performance against Zurich.
His performance against Zurich was incredible.
Yeah, he was but amazing.
As well as that, his interview was actually really good. Like, he speaks so well.
When he's able to speak.
Yeah, but his mentality as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's
just got a new lease of life.
Yeah.
Playing here. Gas, what a positive environment can do for a player, isn't it?
You said it, not me.
Don't ever overestimate that or underestimate whatever the blame word is. Now, my Richie Winter, I also had two. I did have three, and I got rid of Vinnie Perth because I was fairly sure you were going to go down that road.
It was just bonkers.
My two. So the first one is Stephen Kenny.
More bizarre comments.
We're going to be seeded. No, you're not, actually. You're not. You're definitely not going to be seeded, as the draw proved in the end. So, know your stuff, or else you make yourself look really stupid. And the other one who I am officially going to give my Richie Winter to, and this pains me, because he is part of, by far and away, the second best League of Ireland podcast in the country. Behind the 1895 podcast, obviously.
Well, hey.
I had to give it to Johnny Ward.
Yeah, it was coming.
Mad ramblings. Now, Johnny Ward loves a mad ramble. That's part of the appeal. But he just had it out for the Reds. Had it out for us. Basically said we were stinking and gone on about the standard of the league. Who cares about the standard of the league? I couldn't give... fiddlers about the standard of the league. Don't care. If we, in fact, I'd go as far as to say, I think I'd enjoy winning the league more if we fucking 1-0 our way to the league. I'd love to do that just to see everyone's head explode.
Oh, you're some man for chaos, aren't you?
But this whole thing of like, oh, they never took a chance, they never opened up, the game was there to be won. It's not that simple. You don't just get to pin a team in their own 18-yard box and fling balls at them for whatever amount of time it was, an hour or even whatever. I can't do maths, and I can't now because I'm annoyed. But that's not how it works. Like, you're not just entitled because the team goes down to 10 men a day. Now, lads, you just have to stay in your 18-yard box, and now we get to just aim balls into the box on top of yous, and yous aren't allowed to come out and counter-attack us. So that we can just go gung-ho. Stop, will you? That's how football works. And you forget, it's not as if we were playing some bleeding submarine league team, like, I don't know, who's bottom of the first division? Longford, those scrappers, bin men. Like, it's not as if you're playing a team like that. This is second best team in the country, with some serious players, mind you, that can do serious damage. You can't just open up and forget about any kind of defensive shape or defending just because somebody might think it's a bit boring when they're watching it on Virgin Media. Piss off. Annoying me. Anyway.
Tell us how you really feel, dude.
For sake, I don't know. Oh, that's annoyed me. I hate shy talk like that. It really bothers me. But I do really like LOI Central. I'll just put it out there.
It is great, to be fair.
Yeah. Ben, we're there.
We made it eventually.
Yes, it's a huge week coming up for the club. It's massive. Just huge. Two huge games. The girls have got to get down to Cork and get a win. Keep that momentum going. Duffer's team. I said this about the Derry game, but a win down in Sligo, who have been doing quite well of late, would be a massive statement. Massive statement. Yeah. So, yeah. Ben, thank you as always for giving up your Tuesday. Yeah, it is Tuesday, isn't it? Tuesday evening.
Judy, as you know, happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Oh, yeah. And Judy, so on and so forth.
Line. You have your lines, I have mine.
I'm after. Do you know what bothers me? Sometimes I leave this podcast and I'm in great form. Like sometimes after a long day in work, you're going, oh, right, come on, we need to go and get this done now. And then you get into the swing of it and are having a bit of crack and it's all good fun. Talking about the Reds, great Reds, top of the league. And then you start thinking about Stephen Kenny. Oh, jeez. That man would drag you down. He would drag you down. As a wise man once said, he has the look of a fella whose mammy still brushes his hair.
What a show to end the podcast on.
On that note, Ben, thank you very much. And we'll talk to you all soon.
Up the Reds.
All good things come to an end, unfortunately. Ooh, baby, do
you know what that's worth? Oh, that is quite the goal from Jarvis. Ooh, heaven is
a place on earth. Jarvis sticks it high up into the corner and makes it 2-0. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll
make heaven our place on earth. 2-2! It's Jarvis! Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. See in the web of love. Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? And it's a lovely goal by Will Jarvis!
What a finish from Jarvis, cool as you like. Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. It's in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. Even though I think
this is a spiritual home.
I'm delighted to have played for this football club and to have worn a shirt